Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, and welcome to The Man's Voice. We were just sitting here talking about the weather. I hope wherever you're listening that the weather in your area is pleasant as we go into this week of Thanksgiving. For those of you that will be off and traveling, because according to AAA, this is supposed to be one of the most traveled Thanksgivings there has been in years. So you're going to be out on the road, make sure you take care of yourself and be safe. And that sounds like I'm closing out rather than going in. But I want to open up with the panelists. And first, I can tell you that a program I started a while back, the Polar Express, Bruce is going to be off for like the next 5 weekends, taking kids to see Santa Claus on a train that they actually did to make the movie The Polar Express. And most people really don't know about this train because the movie is actually animation, but there's actually a train, 1225 is actually an actual steam locomotive that came out of the 1940s that's available for people to take rides on, and it's in Michigan. But anyway, he's going to be gone. So, but I want to jump in with some things that I'm noticing is there's a lot of negative comments, and I'm hoping that we're just into all this I don't like you and you don't like me and we don't like these people and let's be mean and let's, you know, just everything that's coming out against from the election has been fairly negative comments. I'm going to play tonight a lot of sound bites from people that are making comments, but I was also looking at the staff that President-elect Trump is adding to his cabinet. So far, you know, he has Jeff Sessions as Attorney General, Mike Pompeo to run the CIA, and then he also has the Lieutenant General Flynn to run the National Security Agency. And these people are all semi-controversial, but they're all not totally controversial. I mean, Sessions has gotten into a lot of trouble about, you know, things that he said and did, but and I understand that there's still people being talked to, and we're looking at all of those things. But I want to talk about what's going on in the world. There's just, you know, the news. You know, this whole show was supposed to be about men and goodness, how to make things advantageous for our generation, our nationality, our sect of. You know, as we move along through troubled times, but it seems like the times are getting worse and worse. And so we're really going to have to do a lot of work. But anyway, let me start out with, what do you think about who Trump is surrounding himself with? I know that Sessions is probably the most controversial of those, but what about you, Ron? Any thoughts on what he's doing?
I have plenty of thoughts. You know, obviously, for those of you that are listening that haven't listened before, I did not vote for Trump, so I was not happy with the results. But, you know, I feel like as a country, you know, for us to heal and move on, we all need to be working together, but I don't see that happening. And I have to be honest, you know, I've tuned out a little bit since Trump won. And haven't really been paying that much attention to who he's been appointing. I should, so shame on me because I want to hold him to the fire as much as I can. But what I have heard, you know, from the bits and pieces that I've heard here and there is that, you know, the people that he's surrounding himself with are very, very right-wing, you know, scary kind of people that may take us back a few decades in terms of civil liberties, freedoms that we've, lots of groups of people have earned these freedoms, you know, fighting long and hard for decades and decades, and, you know, some of these things are at risk of being turned around and, you know, losing these freedoms. And so I understand why there's a lot of scared people, there's a lot of angry people, and honestly, I don't think in any election prior to this one I have seen it this bad, where there are so many people that are protesting the election of our new president. I mean, I don't have any recollection of any other time when this has happened to this massive scale.
Yeah, I don't either. And there's a lot of it going on. We'll just have to see where that goes. What about you, Don? What do you think about what's going on right now?
David, I think we're at a real important time in history and in our lives here in the United States of America. I, as well as Ron, did not support President-elect Donald Trump because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, and the mouth was speaking a lot during the election. And I know that what you say during the election and what you say when you get a chance to govern are two entirely different things. I understand that. But so much was said that he can't back it up. He can't back up everything he said. And to your point, the people that he's associated himself with and selected, the five people that he selected, I said before, you are a victim, and association makes assimilation. Who you associate tells me a lot about who you are. And the people that he has selected sound like they're in the late 60s or 50s. Like Ron said, I think we're going to be turned back in a lot of different areas that we've made progress. Racism is running riot in America now. I don't see diversity at all in his selections. No diversity at all. And then this is what really concerns me. This is a land of democracy, land of the free, and I see dictatorship, kingsmanship rising up. Here we have elected a man that is a businessman that owns 20 to 30 companies throughout the world and didn't turn in his income tax. We don't know how he stands as far as financially. If I opened up a dog pound, I'd have to do income tax. I'd have to show my income tax to get money from the bank. And this is what really bothers me. This man is going to have the opportunity to select at least 2 to 3 Supreme Court judges that will set law for us for the next 30 to 50 years, or maybe less. I don't know. And then, not only that, 2/3 of the governors in the United States are Republicans. Not only that, he has the House of Representatives, the Senate, and the most powerful position in the world. And then has given his family access to the economic structure to build capital. I don't know where we're going with this. This is terrible. And if we don't say something now, we may never get a chance to say anything. I don't want to take up all the time, but I just wanted to paint some clear pictures of some issues that we need to deal with. I rest.
All right. What about you? I think Harold is on. Are you there, Harold?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
I'm going to be a little bit controversial, because I did not vote for Trump. And I think you said it, Don, He is what we thought he was. So I don't see the problem with it, because America has shown its ugly head once again. So if you heard the election, you heard a lot of Republicans say, well, I'm not voting for Trump. He doesn't stand for what we stand for. But at the end of the day, they did exactly what they said they weren't going to do. So I don't blame them, because we did the same thing. We said we weren't going to vote for Obama because he was black. But the black votes came out. So for me, it's the norm. So I don't see any difference. It's the norm. You still got black people being killed. You still have women making less than men. You still have unequal rights for gays, lesbians, homosexuals, transgender. You still have inequalities for minorities, Hispanic, Asian, Muslims. So America just showed its true colors going back to what it did, like you say, 50, 60 years ago. So
yep.
we know better, but we haven't done better. If you
right.
know that your gas can is on E, you got to do something about it. You got to put gas in your car in order for it to go. What America did was put back the good old boy, conservative, right-wing politician, even though he said he's not a politician. He is just as much a politician as everybody else. He's going to put his friends in places, to, like you said, that's going to have economic advantages over everybody else.
That's
so if you're a have-not, you're going to continue to be a have-not.
I think the separation is going to get wider. Frank, I know you're there. What are your comments on all this?
Well, I think that, to be successful, you have to have teamwork. And obviously, we're not going to be successful because we're not going to get the teamwork. I think there's very little he could do to win over the many segments of our country to see things his way. Hopefully, he will make people like in Appalachia better off, but I don't think so. And I think that's going to be the big travesty, because those people voted for him because they believe that he'll bring coal work back and other jobs like that, and I don't think they'll be coming back. But we'll learn the lesson of that. And I think we're going to continue to have people protesting because there are many carts that we have in America that are segmented, that make us a whole, and includes our environment, includes, he seems to come up with people that are opposed to, don't believe there's any environmental issues, don't understand scriptures, even though they quote them, don't believe in protest, and doesn't apologize. So if you don't apologize, how can you work together? And there are a lot of people calling for us to work together, but for me, I can't get beyond working with someone who doesn't acknowledge that the way they went about doing their business was harmful to a lot of people.
All right. I don't know what that was, 90-second piece, but anyway. As we move forward, like I said, I've been getting looking at all the comments going through the internet and everything that people are making. And as I started out by saying, I wanted to play some sound bites. And I want to play this one for you, and then I want to get comments from everybody what their thoughts are.
Donald Trump is now demanding that we unify and fall in line behind his bigoted leadership. Well, let me tell you, you've got another thing coming, Donald. Why should we not treat you exactly the way you treated President Obama after he was elected freely and fairly by the American people? You spent years questioning his religion, his college transcripts, his loyalty to this nation, and even his citizenship. And it wasn't until just a month before the election that you finally built up the courage to half-ass admit that he was born in this country. You're not alone, though. How about your beloved Republican Party? It organized a preemptive meeting on the very day of President Obama's first inauguration to plan a vicious political insurgency, as they coined it, intended to delegitimize and obstruct his presidency. Senate Republicans shattered the filibuster record, even going as far as torpedoing their own legislation in order to score political points against President Obama and block any and all progress. This is after the Republican Party handed President Obama an imploded economy that was shedding 800,000 jobs per month and was suffering from the greatest financial crisis since the Great Depression. And now you expect us to play nice and support President Trump's radical fascist agenda. Hell no. Hell no, Donald. You and your Republican Party deserve to be treated with the very same lack of respect and courtesy that you afforded President Barack Obama. We won't sit idly by while you roll back civil rights and sell our country to the highest bidder, especially after you and your party and what they did to our nation's first black president.
All right. That was, of course, from the Democratic Party put that out. But what are your thoughts on that, Don? What do you hear? What did you get from that?
Well, you know what? I think if you would just look at the time, and I thank God I was able to live through this so I can speak on this. If we go back to Daddy Bush, Senior Daddy Bush, we were at war. The economy was in shambles. We were at war. In fact, two different wars. Then 9/11, Junior Bush came on, and we were in another war. The economy was declining, banking industry declining, housing industry declining, automotive industry declining. Then here comes the first African-American leader this country has ever had. And he's called on to fix it. Hurry up. Okay, you fix it. But we don't believe in you, so we're going to make your job difficult, and we're going to make you a one-term president. He fought opposition after opposition for 8 years. 8 years trying to fix it with no help. And now we've come to this. I just spoke on about maybe 16, 17, 20 years. 20 years we've been in this quagmire. So now it's time to deal with it. We got to deal with it. And with Donald Trump becoming president of the United States, the dog has caught the car.
What about you, Ron? What are your thoughts on that statement?
Well, you know, I actually happen to agree with it, even though I know that, you know, we should all be pulling together for the good of the country. But, you know, I want to hold Donald Trump and his cabinet and his people to the fire every single second of every single day, because, you know, I just think it's not right for, you know, things to, for everything that we as a country have fought for to just, you know, crumble before us because of an idiotic leader. And let me say, I mean, I don't know if I said this during another show, but, you know, actually, if you look at the map of the United States and you look at where Hillary won and where Donald Trump won, you're right. He, Frank, you know, he won in Appalachia, and he won in, you know, I hate to say it, and I'm probably going to insult some people by saying it, but, you know, the backwoods areas of the country. He didn't win in the major cities. He didn't win, you know, in the metropolitan big areas. I don't think he even won in Dallas, if I remember right. So, you know, to me, what that says is that there's still a lot of Americans that live in what I call the square states, because they don't have water on any side, and they're in the middle, and they're square, basically. So they live in these square states, and they're maybe not as in tune with you know, the things that go on, the, you know, how should I say it? The and big cities, you know, you've got a mix of people, you've got different ethnicities, you've got a large gay population, you've got, you know, African Americans, you've got this, you've got that. And in these boonie towns like, you know, West Virginia, Kentucky, to name just a couple, you don't really have that. So, you know, I just want to hold them to the fire every step of the way.
All right. It might be a little difficult doing that. I mean, because we don't know which way the fire is going to be burning. I do know it's going to be burning. We just don't know how and what intensity. But anyway, what about you, Harold? What do you think about that comment that was made?
I heard that comment, and from the outset, 100% correct. America, from the moment Barack Obama was sworn in as president, they criticized him from the oath that the Supreme Court justice messed up. And anybody that knows Barack Obama knows he is a constitutional wizard. Knew the oath by heart, but he followed the direction of the Supreme Court justice. The senator or congressman, whoever, called him a lie in the State of the Nation address. Donald Trump called him a non-American. His political allies dogging him for any small, minute thing that he did. And I think America, the people who really truly believe in his creed, are not happy that a president was disrespected. So for us to in turn do the same thing, it would only be right. But I know America and most of my Christian friends will turn the other cheek. And as we're supposed to pray for our leaders, pray for those who are in power. But this president should know that what he reaped, what he sowed, when the President Obama was running, what he sold when he got on TV blasting all of his spew, he's going to have to come back and reap. He's going to have to come back and sit and take the same disdain that President Obama took for 8 years. But Trump is only going to do it for 4 because, as many of us said, the rural America who voted for him that are still living below the poverty lines in some of these states are going to realize that they just put in power someone who's not out to help them. He's only out to help the elitists, and because you are in rural America, rural Alabama, rural Mississippi, if you saw, all of the southern states overwhelmingly selected Donald Trump as their president. And so the comment was 100% correct, and I believe that he's going to get more so than what he gave to President Obama.
I agree with that. That comment, well, let's make America great again, it was more like let's make the rich rich again. But Frank, where are you on, what did you think about the comment that soundbite I just played?
Well, I concur with the soundbite, David. It's pretty sad, but, you know, from the beginning of the Obama administration, he was not given the same courtesy and respect that we would normally afford President of the United States. So I think our country deteriorated significantly in that issue and how we, civility and our respect. So we've lost that ability to respect people that are in the highest office, which is, you know, it may be a play on words, but I think that's the situation with having the current president-elect. He's not considered a respectful person. The thing that he does have going for him, he is the president-elect. So I expect there's going to be a lot of trauma. I think that the soundbite that you played was absolutely correct. You know, for a congressional setting to call a guy a liar, I mean, it's just for a guy who says that you're not born in this country. And recently, I think that the verbiage is having been more painful because we've had people called Mrs. Obama an ape in high heels, that type of thing. We've had a lot of teachers, television personalities that have had to be fired from their jobs because their mothers didn't teach them how to respect people. And I thought that everybody got those basic lessons. But I expect that the people that made that soundbite are absolutely correct, and that we're in for a real moments of pain coming forth.
I know that Bruce isn't here, but Bruce asked me to bring up this, and I have different thoughts on it. But Bruce's thought was the piece about the Hamilton concert that the vice president-elect Pence went to, and the actors on stage asked him to make sure that he works for everyone in the United States, not just the rich and famous. But it seems that Mr. Trump thought that Mr. Pence needed a apology, but Mr. Pence is saying, you know, from his comments, that he went and had a good time. It was just politics was being politics. They booed him, but they also booed the actors when the actors made the comments. But Bruce is wanted us to discuss it to say, you know, what were our thoughts on it? Don't we just think that they were out of line and we should just put everything down? And since Trump is president-elect, we should all just hold our breath and work with the man to make sure that whatever he does comes out for everyone. So I'm saying that for Bruce, not necessarily for me. But anyway, so Frank, did you read? I know that you are in the news a lot. You read up a lot of it and stay ahead of the game. What do you think about the Hamilton piece?
Well, Pence has got a reputation of being super conservative, involved with the court, not allowing immigrants to come to his state of Indiana. I think it was probably okay for the cast to recognize that he was in the audience, and I think it was proper for them to address to him their concerns as citizens of this country. And so I think that went well. I think it was proper for people to boo a small amount for the people who made the announcement, as well as possibly the vice president-elect that was in the audience. I think that if Mr. Trump and Mr. Pence don't want that to happen, then they're going to stay, you know, in the Naval Observatory where the vice president lives, and they're going to stay in the and I don't know if Trump is even going to move into the White House, but they'll stay in their respective houses, because I think that given an opportunity, if that had been the Sierra Club or some other organization, they would have made the same petition since they had an opportunity to do it. It's the First Amendment, and we're not showing people the type of courtesies that we have in the past, because we've lost that notion of being courteous once we elected our first Afro-American president.
Okay. What about you, Ron? Do you know about the Hamilton piece, and what are your thoughts on it? Because I know that Bruce thinks that the cast should have just asked him to come backstage and kind of not did it publicly, but they were speaking for the United States. It was their right. It was their house. They could do what they want, in my opinion. What do you think, Ron?
Yeah, I don't think they were out of line either. I think, you know, it's a free country to speak your mind, as Frank said. You know, that's a right that we have. And I don't think that they did it in a distasteful way. I don't disagree with what happened and the reaction or anything. I think it played out very well.
I am at the point now of saying, as men, as the man's voice, that we, as men, need to quit. Those of us that are doing it, I'm getting a lot of Facebook and a lot of media on negatives, and everybody saying anything. I think it's about time for us to just, you know, step back. The public at this point, from the college, electoral college, are voting for or trying to put Trump in the office, and I think we need to say we need to step back and hold our breath and just move on and do what we have to do to make tomorrow the best for our families and our kids and ourselves. And if it comes to the point of where we need to pass laws and things, think about this again and make sure we're voting the way we should be voting. But I think we're going to have to stop, you know, whining. I think we need to stop whining and start just putting forward the best we can do to make to the next phase, because I'm sure when President Obama was elected, there were those who thought the same thing. The world was coming to an end. So we have to say this is probably the worst position we've ever been in, but we have all been in bad positions before, and we knew how to make it work for us and our families. And if we find it difficult, we need to hold on to each other and move forward. Anybody got any thoughts on that, Don? You got thoughts?
Well, I think they had a right to do what they did. The First Amendment gives us the right to speak up and voice our opinion. And people have been given platforms, and they're using their platform in every walk of life now, David.
Right.
If you notice, they did that towards the end of the show after they had taken a consensus of all the people in the cast. And another thing, too, think about this. Donald Trump sent a text or a tweet saying you should apologize. Well, when I saw him make the comment about that physically deranged person and imitate a person that's handicapped.
Right. I saw that.
And he never apologized for that. That hurt me more than anything I've ever seen in the political arena. There are many people that I deal with that are handicapped, and this man that's running for president of the United States twisted his arm and made fun of some person. That supersedes what we're talking about.
Right.
Has he apologized for anything he said or done over the last 8 years? No. So why would you expect us to do something that you have not done yourself, or the Hamilton group to do something you hadn't done yourself?
Exactly.
Has he apologized for not giving out his tax return? No. Has he apologized when President Obama in turn showed him his birth certificate? No. Has he apologized for calling women and Hispanics criminals? No. Has he apologized for his, what he quotes, locker room banter? No. So why would you expect, as the president of the United States, for people to follow you and you do not set the example? That's just my thought.
Right.
Amen.
Hey, David,
yes. Go ahead, Frank.
I don't share your same thoughts, okay? You know, when I grew up, I used to wonder a lot about why Afro-Americans were in the situation or predicament that they were in. That made me a very rebellious child, because I always wondered why we would just take a baloney that was dished out, etc. So this is, you know, I'm a full-time adult. I want to set a right example, and the right example is to try to be a courteous individual. But what we have done is we've shown in our country that we really don't have a respect for smarts. We don't have a respect for humans that are trying to do a good job. And so I've got to be the opposition where it's necessary to have opposition. If the president-elect does some good things, I'll be there thanking him. But the way it looks to me, with the buildup of his staff, and I say again, with the buildup of his staff, it doesn't look like anything good is going to come out of that. And so all these, most of these places and activities that represent different groups of people are going to be united in opposition to his administration. And I don't see any other reason not to be, because there's no good that can come from evil. And this is an evil person. You know, as you can start off with the first time he came down the escalator when he talked about Hispanics being rapists, I believe. You can talk about the women issue that he on the bus. That guy got fired from his job, Bush, Billy Bush, and this guy became the president of the United States. So I don't share your thoughts. And as a Afro-American guy, I want to be what I thought Afro-American men should have been when I was growing up, and that is the call to the public, not in the household, not at the table, but to stand out in the streets and say, this is wrong.
But I don't understand what it is you don't agree with, because I think if you're not agreeing with the comments I make, that's basically what I'm saying is we need to, you know, take care of us and our families and our thing. But when we see something going wrong, then we need to stand up and say what it is that we're saying and we don't agree. But we should also make sure that the laws and whatever is getting passed, whatever is being introduced, is something that's going to be positive for all of us, or especially for me and mine. And I think that's what I'm saying. But we need to quit whining and move on.
Well,
he's the vice president elect. So, okay, let's move on. Let's understand. Let's make sure that he does what we think he should be doing as we the people. What is it that you don't agree
with? Hey, David.
Yes.
David, the whining comes from things that happen. Okay, so people are just not waking up tomorrow morning when Mr. Trump hasn't done anything, and they're just not whining, okay? There are people protesting in the streets in a lot of cities because they're frightened that their rice bowl is going to be taken away from them. There are people that have been injured by him, women. You know, there's 16 or 17 women that accuse this gentleman of raping them. So I don't think the whining is without action on his part.
No, I agree with that. But once you whine so long, then you got to do something about it. You can't keep whining. You got to stop and take stand. And you can only whine so long. Then you have to man up and start acting. And it's not always beaten down. Sometimes it's using your mind to make sure you're ahead of it. So I'm just saying we need to stand up and be men for real. And I just hate it when somebody said, you know, you need to act like a man. What do you know? What does that mean? Because every man is different. You act like. But the thing is to protect our families, protect our rights, and do it the best way we can. We just can't keep whining. We have to do something about it. And if it takes laws to do it, then we need to put in place those people, those things that can make that happen for us so that we feel that we are being represented to the best of our abilities. I want to play a soundbite that one of the panelists actually gave me, and I want to get out of the politics thing because we're coming into Thanksgiving, and, you know, that's a good time we should spend with our family, and other men need to cut the turkey or be at the head of the tables. But I got some questions out of the mailbag that I wanted to route about Thanksgiving and talk about Thanksgiving. But before we do that, I want to play this one last soundbite of the politics, and then I want to get out of that and get into.
I am so damn tired of trying to see it from the other side. I'm trying to discuss nuance while they paint us and our candidates with the broadest of hateful brushes. I'm tired of pretending like it's somehow reasonable to teach creationism in public schools with my tax dollars while you tell me that two same-sex people who love each other getting married somehow threatens your marriage. You voted for Trump. I am tired of trying to see things your way while you sit in your holier-than-thou churches / white power meetups refusing to see things mine. Did I just lump you in with white supremacists? No. You did that to yourselves. You voted for the same candidate as the KKK. You voted for a candidate endorsed by the KKK. For the rest of your life, you have to know that you voted the same way as the KKK. Does that feel good to you? Here's a hint. It really shouldn't, especially if you call yourself a Christian. I'm tired of pussyfooting around what offends your morals while couching what offends mine. Because racism and homophobia and misogyny and xenophobia offend mine. Let me say it right here. If you voted for Trump, I do think you're a racist. I do think you're homophobic. I do think you're a misogynist. Racism and homophobia and misogyny are all a spectrum, and you're on it. Don't like getting painted with a broad brush of racism? Now you know what it feels like when you get told that you want to rip a baby out of a mother's womb at 9 months, when that's not what happens. That's never what happens. I tried to be polite, but now I just don't give a damn. Because let's be honest, we don't live in polite America anymore. We live in grab-em-by-the-pussy America now. So thank you for that. Being polite was exhausting. And don't come at me with how you just didn't like Hillary. This was bigger than Hillary. This wasn't your standard, I just want lower taxes and smaller government Republican. We had Germans warning us that this guy was scary. And still you cried emails or Benghazi or that voice. And still there's been mountains of evidence proving that nothing that you think Hillary did was that big of a deal or even true. Some of the finest minds in the world have drawn you graphs and charts proving that no crimes were actually committed, and you were either too dumb or too willfully ignorant to care. And if you really cared about crimes, you'd care about any of the three pending against your candidate. Take your pick. I'd start with the rape of a 13-year-old girl, but if you voted for Trump, you probably don't care much what happens to women. Doesn't matter anyway. She received so many death threats from your political peers that she dropped the charges. But ask me again when more women don't come forward. And speaking of smaller government and lower taxes, enjoy not getting mine. If Trump actually does what he says he's going to do, then your petty backward state and your small angry town can pay for your own school to not educate your children. I live in California, the largest economy in the United States and the sixth largest in the world. We'll be fine. But have fun affording all those children your health insurance won't pay for your birth control to prevent. I'm just kidding. You're not going to have insurance. Won't that be just great again? The truth is that for those of us on this side, there is no when all this is over. Things are just getting started. We think last Wednesday was bad. We don't know what bad is yet. This isn't something you get over. This is something you endure. We are going to face attacks on every right we fought the last 60 years to gain. The deck is so stacked against us, we may not win. The best we can hope for is gridlock. And that's just nationally. Internationally, who the fuck knows what this lunatic is going to do? And the scarier thought is that the only thing worse than this guy is the guy who's one angry tweet away from the presidency, Mike Pence, advocate for gay conversion therapy and mandatory funerals for fetuses. So now's the time you might want to see things from my side. Because if we're all going to have to be friends after this, imagine me having to be polite and respect your voice to take away my rights and freedoms and those of my friends while we fight desperately to try to hang on to them. Because that is what you did.
All right. So, Ron, tell me, what do you think about that?
Well, I you know, it's not the first time I listen to it, and every time that I listen to it, I just thoroughly enjoy it because I think she sums it up beautifully, better than anybody else that I've heard sum up the situation we're in. And you know, as a gay American, I can't agree more with her statement about Pence. I mean, come on. This is 2016, and he still believes that you can convert somebody back to being straight? Come on. It's ridiculous. I think she sums it up better than anybody else I've heard, and I think it's to the point. You know, it's in a way it's sad because, you know, it has come to the point where we're not you know, polite with each other anymore. We just say it like it is, and I think that's a result of this election process, and we just don't care. You know, we just tell it like it is, and that's the way I think it's going to be moving forward.
Yeah, but haven't we always wanted a society where people tell it like it is so we know who is who? We kind of always said we wanted that, right?
Well, we did, and now we have somebody that the KKK supported, you know, running the country.
Right. All right. I think let's end all this politics because as we move along, we'll be I think talking about it for quite a while, especially till next year this time when things unfold and we see how this world is going to run. But let's get into what the season that we're getting into. We're moving to a very good season for men and our families, for us to take lead on our families. But I did have a question from the mailbag that I want to throw out, and I think I want Frank to answer this one because I think he probably would know better. But I have from the mailbag. It's a family that wants to know that one of the family members, one of the brothers, married a Muslim young lady. And they want to put their families together for a Thanksgiving dinner, and so he wants to know, is it proper to serve pork at a Thanksgiving dinner where half of the members are going to be from a faith that does not eat pork? What would you think, Frank?
You can do it. But you just got to have two different types of dishes, okay? You know, I go to a lot of meetings, that we have, but we order the specific foods that meet each of the dietary restrictions of that particular faith group. So I wouldn't have pork in the house during that time unless there was a unless people in that audience were insistent on having pork there. I would have, you know, some type of fowl or fish. But you can do it, but you just got to have meals that cover both parties of people, and you've got to make sure that you don't get the ingredients that would offend one group into the food of the other group. So that's, you have to be international about it.
Right. That would mean that you couldn't cook greens with ham hocks, right? You need to not do that. What about you?
Well, you could, but then you wouldn't serve it to your people that are Muslim faith. That's
right. Right, but if it's all sitting around a table and they're past the dish, you need to. So I don't know where to go with that. What about you? Harold, what do you think about that? I know that you are in the church a lot, and I know you're on the Christian side, but what do you think about serving ham if half of the people that are coming are from a family that doesn't believe in pork?
For me, that's a good subject because I don't eat pork. I'm not Muslim. I worked at a meat factory years ago, and I had to eat pork. And I make it a conscious effort if somebody's coming to my house to make sure that I have something for everybody, with something everybody can eat. Like I have a friend now who doesn't eat pork or beef. So I know I have to make sure I have fish or chicken. So you have to be cognizant of what your guests that's coming over once and able to eat. Like if I go for Thanksgiving, I always ask before I delve into anything and say, what was this cooked with? Was it cooked with pork? Was it cooked with ham? And they say no, then I know what I can and cannot eat. But as a host, you should be able to say or accommodate your guests with a little bit of everything.
All right. What about you, Don? What are your thoughts on having a family where half of the members are against consuming pork? Would you, because the other half does eat pork. So how would you, the question is, what is this family supposed to do? They're wanting to know what our thoughts are on family where half is, you know, can't eat it. And do they serve, do they put it on the table? What do you think, Don?
I agree with everything that's been said by the two previous callers. You can do it. Just make sure it's decent and in order, and also let people know and have the delights of each and every person that you invite over. And when you invite people to your home, you should know something about them, unless they bring a guest. You know, anybody I invite over to my home to break bread, I know something about them. I know what they like, and I know what they dislike. So it can be done, and just do it decent and in order. And what a person puts in their mouth, that's them.
All right. It's the way it reads is like it's the first time happening that someone married a person who is not of the faith that they are, and they're all trying to put the family together for a big Thanksgiving meal. What do you think about that, Ron? Would you serve it?
Well, I think you could do one of two things, and I'm not disagreeing with anybody, but you could either make it a potluck dinner and have, you know, everybody bring whatever dish they feel comfortable eating, or, you know, this is a perfect time for compromise and find out what it is that everybody can eat. And then serve that, you know, as opposed to, and it doesn't have to be pork, you know, maybe the people that are pork eaters, you know, they're fine with, as Frank said, fowl or fish or something like that, and so are the other people. So just compromise and do dishes that everybody can eat.
Right. All right. I think that all makes sense. Another question I'm looking at the notes here. Another question that I had was, who says grace when your in-laws come. It's a newly married couple, and it's being held at the son's house. But the son says his dad always, you know, sit at the table and cut the turkey and said the grace. But now it's at his house. Is he supposed to give up his place at the head of the table to his father? Does he, in his own house, take lead? What do you think, Frank?
Well, I think, David, if you're in that situation, you should let your dad. I think if you're really a religious person, you should show your dad that you learned something from the years that he did grace, and you should go ahead and start the grace. And then if you want to invite your dad to finish the prayer or to add to the prayer, you can certainly do that, and you can certainly invite anyone else to the table in addition to that. It is a time to be thankful. It is a time to be prayerful, I believe. But I think that you should initiate the prayer by letting your dad know that you are the man that he wanted you to be when he was raising you.
I think that's a great point. It's time for the son to show. But that's just what I think. What do you think, Harold? What do you think? Should he give up? Should your son coming, if you eat a dinner at your son's house, should he allow you to be the head of the table and cut the turkey and say the grace, or do you want him to?
As I was raised, and this is the way I was raised, and most of us as men, you are the head of your house. And as the head of your house, you are the chief priest of that house. And my father, when I moved into my house, he looked at me. He let me smoke the turkey first, and then said, "Son, this is your table." When I go to my in-law's house, my father-in-law, I look to him first, and then he says, "Harold, bless the food." I take his lead because that's his house. So if I go to my son's house, he is the man of that house. His family is looking to him as the lead. And as his guest, if he gives that opportunity, I will take it, but only if he offers it to me. I would never put my will on him to say, because I am your dad, I want to pray. I want to carve the turkey. But he has to establish that he is the head of his house. He is the chief priest in his house. And then if he gives up that, then you take it.
To me, I think that's exactly right. I think we as men look at our sons and be proud, you know, that they are doing those kinds of things. That's the thought I would have, that, you know, it's his house, it's the son. I'd expect him to take the lead. I mean, if he asked me, then I would say, but it's your house, son. If he insists, then I probably would step in. But in the meantime, I would let him know that I would like to see him step up and be the man of the house. What about, let me ask this question to the panelists. Don, what is your favorite thing about Thanksgiving meal? What is your favorite dish? Let's put it that way. What is your favorite dish in Thanksgiving?
My favorite dish? Food?
One favorite thing on the Thanksgiving table that you love to eat. Narrow it down.
David, I mean, I would be remiss if I didn't say turkey.
Okay. Okay. Ron, you're laughing. What's your favorite dish?
I like all of it, but if I had to choose, I would say mashed potatoes and gravy.
Oh, you're easy. Okay, Harold, what's your favorite dish?
For me, it will be my mother-in-law's candy yam. Oh, my God. I can't wait for it. Because it has like a mashed potato feel, but with the syrup gravy, that's just also good.
Frank, what's your favorite dish?
Okay, this might sound like a summer dish, but I love it. Potato salad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. So after the meal is over the next day and you want to go, what's on your plate when you go and make your own the next day and everything's in the refrigerator and the meal is over, what are you going to put in your plate? For me, it would be like ham or turkey, potato salad, rolls, corn, and some dressing. That would be me. What about you, Don? The next day after Thanksgiving, what's on your plate when you go and raid the refrigerator?
Well, David, you know, the next day is like repeat. It always tastes better the second time around. It seems to taste better after all those seasons that have gotten into the food and into the dish. Man, it tastes better than the first time.
Right.
Amen.
What about you? Ron, what's on your plate the day after Thanksgiving when you raid the refrigerator?
Everything that was on the plate on Thanksgiving Day. And what I do with the turkey, because there's always a lot of leftover turkey, I put it in Ziploc bags and freeze it, and because I love my turkey. And then I just pull it out and heat it in the microwave with the gravy and mashed potatoes.
A lot of eaters here. Frank, what's on your plate the day after Thanksgiving and you're going to hit raid the refrigerator? What do you want to eat?
Well, I'm going to have some of that turkey. I'm going to definitely have some potato salad. I'm going to definitely have some greens. And I'm going to definitely have some nice bread.
Wow.
And yes, that's for starters.
I think Frank is the healthiest one because he's the only one that said some greens. He put some healthy greens on his plate. But you're right. Greens taste good, too, on the next day. So Thanksgiving is a time for Thanksgiving. Tell me, what are you thankful for this year? And I think it's nothing personal, but what is it that you want to give thanks for? I think, man, we would love to hear from each other. You know, what was your life like? What are you giving thanks for? So tell me, Ron, what are you giving thanks for this Thanksgiving Day, Thursday?
I am giving thanks for my family, all my loved ones. I'm giving thanks for my relatively good health, and giving thanks for, enjoying one of God's beautiful days every day that I wake up.
What about you, Harold? What are you giving thanks for?
Life. You know, it may not be the life that I dreamed of, but I'm thankful for life. You see so many people who are down and out, and some people who are less fortunate. But, you know, I'm not the richest, I'm not the poorest, but I'm thankful for life. I may not be successfully where I need to be or may want to be, and for family. You know, that's the biggest thing for me, life and family. Everything else will take care of itself.
All right, Don, what are you thankful for this Thanksgiving?
Well, I gotta tell you. Say it again.
I remember asking this question last year, and I remember what people said. But Don, tell me, what are you thankful for this year?
Well, this year, in fact, this morning, I asked God to speak to me when I was in church this morning, and I gotta tell you what He said to me. He said, "Don, be thankful." And I'm going to speak to you. And God speaks in many ways. He doesn't have to speak a sermon by a pastor, especially when you have a pastor anointed. This man came up to the altar before a service, and he said he wanted to be free. And this Thanksgiving, he wanted to be free. He was bound by alcohol and drugs. And I remember 24 years ago, that was me. And I am so grateful to be free, not in bondage, bound by a substance where I couldn't enjoy my family and enjoy life. I'm thankful, grateful this Thanksgiving.
All right. Frank, I don't think I've asked you. What were you thankful for this season, this year? Did I ask you?
No, you didn't. I'm thankful for my health, my life, my family, and all that I can see about me and that I can have a smile on my face and be a real, relatively happy individual. And I appreciate the life that God has given.
All right. We're down to about the last 30 seconds, and I guess I should say what I'm thankful for, and I'm thinking for that my panel has stayed with me for this year and got through this, and hoping that next year this time we'll be on a national network where you can pick us up anytime. We're glad here at the Man's Voice that you've also joined us, especially if you just joined us today, the first time. You can check with every Sunday at this time. You can also call in and join the conversation, but we here would like to say happy Thanksgiving to all of you. We hope that you have a wonderful Thanksgiving season. If you're traveling, be careful out there. There'll be a lot of people on the road. And make sure you, as men, let's tell our kids, let's tell our sons and daughters and our wives how much we appreciate them and how much we love them. And they're part of the reason we celebrate this holiday. Okay, so it's 7 o'clock, time to go. You guys have a nice week. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.